Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am John Jacob Schmidt. Thank you all for joining us today. Beautiful spring day in the American Readout. Unseasonably warm, but we're not complaining. Thank you all for tuning in across the fruited plains on our live stream, on your apps, and locally in the Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho area on KTW 6:30 a.m. And we're going strong. We've got so much to cover. We always run out of time before we get to say everything that we wanted to say, but that's okay. That's why we follow up on radiofreeredoubt.com with our weekly podcast that streams. And by the way, this and other podcasts, the Sunday evening podcasts, are all uploaded to our Podbean player, where you can download those or play them right there on the website, listen to them throughout the week, and share them with your friends, like-minded friends, family, neighbors, associates, folks that you're trying to encourage and inform and just generally bring them around. So we appreciate you guys doing that. We have a special guest today in the studio. Usually we get this remotely coming in, but code name, we all use code names here to protect the innocent. Codename Fox 519, our exclusive Radio Free Readout economic advisor and analyst, is with us. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, John.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, no problem.
Is your microphone on?
I don't know if it is or not.
Oh, okay, good. All okay. Right. That would be an embarrassing moment, wouldn't it?
Hi, Patriots. Nobody can hear me out here.
No, this is good stuff, and it's really a treat. And he was having some glitches with his drivers on his USB, on his computer, and pulling his hair out. I said, hey, why don't you just come to the studio and just meet me, and we'll do this together. So here we are.
Yeah, it's great.
Good stuff.
Fun to broadcast with you.
Absolutely. And so we've got lots of stuff to cover. We are going to get into, of course, we're going to be covering current events. And we're going to continue. This will be a part two for preparedness. But last week we talked about kind of the mindset and also the scriptural legitimacy of being prepared and responding when you see danger coming, to prepare, to take refuge. And it's the right thing to do in certain times, not to be obsessed by it, and not to do it out of fear, but to do it out of obedience and to be responsible for taking care of those who we are supposed to take care of, our families, namely, and then our community, so we can be a part of that rebuilding. So we're going to talk about that in segment two, where we'll open up the phone lines in segment three and get you guys to weigh in on the discussion, what some of the things that you do to prepare, some of your journeys, or maybe you haven't really given thought to this before and you're not really sure where to start out. Well, you're in the right place. And if we can't answer all of your questions, then we will definitely get you pointed in the right direction to find those answers. Hey, if you guys have friends and family living outside the coverage of the AM coverage, remember, we stream live, so you can email the link. You can go to KTW. You can also go to, that's Liberty Broadcasting Services. You can also go to Radio Free Readout and click on the John Jacob Schmidt Show banner there, 6:30 a.m. And that shows you all the different ways that you can listen to the show, whether it's streaming or on an app or on the radio. So, good stuff. Now, you had a bunch of economic stories lined up, right?
Yeah.
We'll get to...
Yeah, we can go through those
because this is going to tie in I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're fine.
No, I did mean to, but forgive me.
Forgive
it. As we go through the news and commentary, I want to start opening this up because it really lays the groundwork for why we should be preparing. And it's going to kind of segue into some of the things that we can do to prepare. So this would probably be the time for us to do the news and commentary. News, current events, things that we need to cover for your general situational awareness and let you know what's going on out there. There's last week. Oh, also, I want to do a follow-up here. Last week, remember we talked about students in the Chronicles of the Death of America. I mean, the news section last week. Students at University of California, Irvine voted to ban the American flag. Well, in case you guys didn't know, that was actually rescinded. They backpedaled as fast as they could after the heat came down on them, including many members of the school. And the faculty said, that does not represent our views. And so they pulled that. The flags are back up. And so it was a victory for the Patriots that are in occupied territory there in California. Congratulations to you guys for pushing back hard, getting in the fight, and preserving what's left of Americanism where you are. Good job. Good stuff. There's a House bill that was approved to give homeschooling families asylum in America. This is really an interesting one to watch. Because if you remember the German family who was, they were facing having their children taken from them, facing criminal charges because they were homeschooling in Germany, refusing to place their children into the European globalist indoctrination system. So they fled to the United States. Then they were going to be deported back to Germany where they faced charges, and then that was overridden. Well, this has been a kind of a seesaw battle. The United States is still, to many people around the world, the shining light, the beacon on the hill. And so folks that are seeking liberty are still coming here because, well, as many problems as we have, it is still offering many people a lot of freedom and liberty. So right now, the federal government, the House panel has approved a bill that, among other asylum and immigration concerns, would grant foreign homeschooling families asylum in the U.S. if they face persecution in their native country for opting to teach their children at home. And of course, what happens in Europe is usually not too far behind for the United States. So it's going to come down to eventually at some point controlling the homeschooling in America. But we've got ourselves a little bit of time in that department. Because, well, the adversaries are focused on so many other things right now. They're not focused on the homeschooling, not in earnest yet. But we need to be prepared for that. And, of course, we're very strong proponents of getting your children out of the public school systems. And that is, if you care about your children, I've spoken about this many times before. We've laid the case out. Very compelling arguments for this and data, facts about the harm that the public school systems do to our Christian children. So either a well-researched, good, vetted Christian school or homeschooling. And I know it's hard. It's difficult. But we're living in difficult times. We have to make difficult decisions. So far, it looks like we are going to still be a shining beacon of light on the hill for those seeking asylum who wish to raise their own children with the standards that the parents see fit. That's a very novel idea, isn't it? Now, talking about economic news, Fox,
mm-hmm.
I just saw this. The World Bank warns of extremely rare decline in all 9 commodity sectors this year. And we're being told that we are on a recovery. So can you shed some light on this?
You know, I would say the news that we're in a recovery is greatly over-exaggerated. I mean, as we've watched the unemployment rate decrease, well, according to the U3 levels of unemployment over the past, you know, 6-7 months, I mean, what they haven't told us here in America is they haven't talked about the U6 level, which is the folks who have dropped off, who have stopped looking for work. I mean, in my own journey looking for work, it took me 3 months to even find a job. You know, so imagine going 3, 4, 5, 6 months where you can't find the work in your field, and all of a sudden you just kind of give up and either go work under the table for someone or just start living on the government dole. So the fact that they're saying unemployment is going down, that doesn't mean that people are finding jobs that are either in their field. They're just dropping off, and so the number just looks better and better and better.
Yeah.
But not only that, I mean, there was a study released a while back, and I'm trying to recall who it was through, but all the jobs that have been created this year are not living wage jobs.
Right.
They're either part-time or lower-income jobs.
Yes.
So there's not living wage jobs that are available.
So we have the jobs issue. And on top of that, you have other market indicators. Markets themselves are not what they were. They're dropping. And the commodities are dropping. And those are very, very strong indicators, way more so than the unemployment. They always throw the employment rate out there to, you know, try to...
They dangle that in front of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's not really what's going on. It's the commodities indexes are way more telling of the strength of markets.
Oh, absolutely. You got to look at the silver. You got to look at gold. I mean, those two are dropping as well. I mean, and even oil. I mean, we've all experienced the benefits of that for the short term. But, you know, with the OPEC nations still producing at the same rate and the oil price going down, I mean, the strategy behind it is, and I believe, is to drive the oil market back out of America again. If you're looking at what's going on, in the, pretty much the central region of America. I mean, if you watch the documentary called The Overnighters, it talks all about the oil towns and all these.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, people are out of work back there. Just on Christmas Eve alone, 10,000 people were New Year's Eve, 10,000 people were laid off.
And where was this that you're referring to?
This is here in America. This is in the oil industries, everything from North Dakota down to Texas.
Yep, because the oil price is plummeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can't pull that oil out of the ground and process it at a cost that's going to offset that employment cost to them. So, you know, when oil is hitting, you know, it's, you know, $40-$50 a barrel. They need it at really $85 to $95 a barrel to even make a profit. So the cost of pulling it out of the ground doesn't offset that cost to pay their employees.
Yeah, and according to this article that I was just referencing, oil prices have dropped 55% in 7 months from the most recent high of $108 per barrel in mid-June of 2014. So they're saying in the oil markets, this is a perfect storm with conditions that led to the plunge in prices since 2014, so less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Growth in unconventional oil production, decline in demand, appreciation of the U.S. dollar, receding geopolitical risks, major redirection toward maintaining market share rather than targeting prices by the world's oil cartels. There's so many factors coming to play here that are affecting markets. But we're told that there is a recovery. But what's coming, many folks are actually already feeling now.
Oh, absolutely.
Venezuela, for example, and we've been covering this, where there's food shortages. Meanwhile, over the radio, the public radio, the government is saying there's no shortage of food. There's an abundance of it. You just have to be patient. Oh, by the way, no hoarding. And now, according to Fox News Latino out of Caracas, Venezuela will begin installing some 20,000 fingerprint scanners at supermarkets nationwide in a bid to stamp out hoarding and panic buying, which the government blames for long lines and widespread shortages of basic goods. So the government saying this is necessary because of the shortages, but weeks ago they were saying there are no shortages, there's plenty to go around, but the folks standing in line are saying this isn't the case.
Well, and I think as we look towards the future here in America, you have to look at what's going on in California. I mean, there was a study out this morning, and I was reading it on Facebook, and I'd have to go back and look, but they're saying the water levels in California are going to be dangerously low again for this summer. You know, and I don't know how much the percentage of America gets its produce from California, but we look what happened to the beef prices. You know, last year they had to drive the herds down to Texas. They had to put them in slaughterhouses because they didn't have enough water to feed their herds. So beef prices jumped up dramatically. Now, we didn't see that in consumer price index because it doesn't cover that. So the inflation to you and I's pocketbook, when we sit down at the dinner table, you know, it's quite a bit more.
Well, Mrs. Schmidt's going to the grocery store and she's saying, you know what? These prices have gone up 100% in the last year.
Oh, absolutely.
And last year she was saying the prices have gone up 100% in the last 3 years. So this is like gaining momentum. It's picking up, it's growing exponentially now.
Oh, absolutely. Where we see the decrease in fuel prices, but we're going to continue to see the uptick in food prices. Again, that's not tracked in the CPI.
Right. And, well, fuel prices are they're rebounding, too, slowly, thank the Lord. I mean, we need some relief somewhere.
Yeah,
but everything else is suffering.
Yeah, but that the jump we've seen in fuel prices is faster than when we've ever seen it in the past.
Yes.
So it dipped down. I think 2 weeks ago I reported on that where it gone down. But in the past decade where fuel prices have jumped up, we've seen the fastest jump in the last 3 to 4 weeks.
So we're in a situation where we're fast approaching this moment when countless economists and experts have warned this is all coming to a head. And things always just look really just rosy and peachy right before we slam into the wall. And this is like where we are right now. This is what the experts are saying. This is what the analysts are saying. This is what you've been saying. And whether it comes in the next, you know, weeks, months, or even next 2 or 3 years, we're out of all the time that we can, you know, hope for to prepare for this. I mean, we can't put this off like this is not going to happen for 10, 20, 15, 20 years.
No, no. I think what we're looking at is the latter half of 2015, seeing pretty significant market corrections. I think one of the biggest drivers of that, and I talked about Mark Goodwin a couple of weeks ago, is that we're in this 7-year cycle. And every 7 years, we have a major event of some type. You know, it's...
Financial event?
Financial event, world event. I mean, it's the cycle of the Shemitah. You know, those things keep going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we won't go down that path too much. But is that every 7 years, we see something major economically happen. I mean, here we have, you know, this weekend, we have the debt ceiling. You know, we are bumping up against that. We're at $18 trillion in debt. Interesting article on King World News by Eric Sprott talking about, okay, if we just keep increasing our debt ceiling, keep going, who is going to continue to buy our bonds? Who's going to continue to keep buying our debt when they will never be paid back? It's like me going, you coming to me, or me going to you, hey, can I borrow $5? Come back next week. You know what? I can't pay you back, but I'll give you $15. And I keep loaning you money time and time again. Would you keep giving Fox 519 money if I never paid you back?
Well, it's worse. It's like you keep giving me a credit card, and then I have to keep getting new credit cards just to pay the interest, because I can't pay the principal on the credit cards that I already maxed out. So I keep getting more credit cards just to keep paying the interest.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, a payday lender. That's exactly what it's like. Yeah, it's a great example of that.
This is what we've done. This is what we've done in our country. And, well, it's all coming to a head. We're seeing it in the markets. We're seeing countries actually, it's the end for them. They're out of options.
Oh, you look at Greece. I mean, that's exactly what happened there. They've extended it another 6 weeks. I mean, literally, those of us in the alternative economic circles were watching, hitting refresh on our internet browsers going, what's going on with Greece? Because that is a true indicator. If Greece would have walked away from the euro, it would have caused just this massive domino.
Well, and then all they've done is just bought themselves some temporary time, a little reprieve.
That's exactly what's happened. It's like, okay, well, we'll extend it out for another 6 weeks. And they're going to get down to it again. I mean, Varoufakis was very, very, very specific in saying, we're not going to cooperate.
Right.
And they were going to walk away. And that was going to be staggering. I mean, it was spooky to watch this kind of unfold. I mean, the fact we're, you know, what are we, 4 or 5 weeks away? No, probably about 4 weeks away again. We've got to watch that. I mean, as Europe goes, so goes America. I mean, the euro is a failed experiment in fiat currency.
Yeah. And so will the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to talk about what we can do about that in the next segment. We're going to lay out some strategies that we can do, actually meat and potato stuff, to reinforce, you know, what we talked about last week and kind of build on that platform. And we're going to give you guys resources and point you to those. But first, I want to talk about an event that's coming up, talking about patriots, talking about preparing for the future. Have you ever been to an Appleseed event?
No. I've heard you speak about them. I've wanted to go. My little foxes all want to go.
Yes. Well, they all can. The children, we were there. There's children as young as 9 years old or as folks as in their 70s and everything in between. What a great time that was. They've got one coming up on April 18th and 19th in Coeur d'Alene at the Fernand Rod and Gun Club. And I just want to encourage you guys to go there. This was such a great time where, really, it's true where, you know, the April 19th, 1775 was the day that marksmanship made history and our heritage began. And that's the motto that they build off of. And so if you can get your family in front of that, it's such a rich environment. They go over our history. You learn marksmanship. There's just so much to this. I'm going to keep reiterating this because I think it's so important. So check that out. Go to our website and click on that link. That'll take you right to it. We'll be back in a minute with segment two, self-reliance.
March 16th is just around the corner, and why is that date important? Well, I'm about to tell you in this week's Eye on the Economy Minute with me, Fox 519, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. So, unless Congress takes action, the U.S. will hit its debt limit on March 16th and would have to begin taking extraordinary measures to finance the government on a temporary basis, according to the U.S. Treasury. In a letter Friday morning to House Speaker John Boehner and other House and Senate leaders, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew said that his office would be forced to suspend the issuance of state and local government series securities on March 13th unless the debt limit was raised. Treasury Secretary emphasized that increasing the debt limit does not authorize new spending commitment, but rather simply allows the government to pay for expenditures Congress has already approved. Well, I have to remind you that usually when the fight for the debt comes up, big things happen in our country, and big important departments get shut down, which can open our doors to all sorts of trouble. Listen each week as I bring you financial news and commentaries that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This has been your Eye on the Economy Minute.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
I believe the strength of a nation lies at its core, the family. With the busy day-to-day lives we sometimes find ourselves in, set aside time for the family, a time that's sacred and is never compromised, a dedicated portion of the day to just focus on one another. Ronald Reagan said, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." I fully agree. And that means no texting, surfing the internet, watching TV, or eating alone in a bedroom or the living room. That time belongs exclusively to your family, so guard it. You might be amazed at the difference such a simple routine can make in your family. Who knows? Maybe something greater than yourself could come out of it. I'm Violette Sabo with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
And we are back at Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you so much for joining us. I am John Jacob Schmidt. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot, my name is your name too. And we are also joined by codename Fox519er today. And also, I wanted to remind you, if you want more information about the Appleseed event, strongly encourage it. And we're going to try to be out there on that Saturday as well. We got to try to figure out the logistics of doing the show and being at Appleseed. Well, we'll see what we can do. But go to appleseedinfo.org. That's appleseedinfo.org. We'll have a link over there at radioforredoubt.com for you to follow right on through. And if you're not in the area, if you're somewhere in the United States, there is an Appleseed event somewhere near you. So you can go check out that website and look at their calendar of events. Now, speaking of calendar of events, there is an event coming up on May 1st and 2nd, which is going to tie right into what we're talking about today. It's called the Northwest Preparedness Expo. We're going to have this link in today's show posting. And this is, you can go to nwpreparednessexpo.com to learn more. There's going to be several speakers there. Patrice Lewis from Rural Revolution. She's a very popular blogger. She's on WorldNet Daily. She's going to be there. She lives in the American Redoubt. She's going to be speaking. I will be speaking. I think Pastor Sharam Hadian, Fox 519, is going to be there talking about the economic issues and what you can do to prepare for that.
Yep, I'll be there.
AMP 3 will be there. They are a preparedness outfit, and Dave Pruitt teaches. This is a very widely known, sought-after class, suturing class. He's actually was a United States Navy ER doctor. And he still does that, in fact. So he's a busy guy, but lots of stuff going on there. Go to nwpreparednessexpo.com. That's on May 1st and 2nd, so mark your calendars. Okay, now we talked about getting into self-reliance. Why should you be self-reliant? Well, the Lord tells us that, you know, if you see danger coming, you should take refuge, and you should prepare for your family. You should provide for your household. There are multiple examples from Noah to Joseph to, there's others. I can't think.
Isaiah?
Yes, Isaiah. Mm-hmm. There's just multiple examples where folks were given warning in advance the danger was coming, and they took appropriate measures. So what does that look like for us? Well, a lot of folks say, well, I don't even know where to start. You know, I understand the world's changing. I hear lots of reports from experts and analysts saying things could come to a head. I don't know what really to do about it. Where do I start? And there's a couple things that I recommend. First of all, to get everyone on the same page, I've mentioned this a lot, so bear with me. Those of you who are self-reliant already, you've been down this road, and this is baby stuff. Be patient, all right? There's a lot of folks we're trying to bring up to speed. Right? And you, become a mentor. Help those that are willing to learn, that want to become self-reliant, so that they can be effective afterward. After a collapse of our system, economic system, a societal, political, whatever it is, you want to make sure that you are not having to check into a FEMA camp because you're starving to death. You want to make sure that you can eat, you can be part of the rebuilding process, and you are not in need. There's plenty of examples of folks that have had to go to FEMA camps because they were not self-reliant. They got trapped in a disaster situation.
Look at Katrina. They all had to pile up in the Superdome.
It was horrible.
Terrible conditions.
Squalor, crime, control. They were not allowed to leave.
Bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. It was a horrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
Their rights, gone. Liberty, gone. And you're not part of the rebuilding. You're just a victim waiting for somebody to come along and rescue you. That's not the position that you want to be in. I always point the folks to two different resources. There's two different books. They're novels, but they are written in such a way they could almost be instruction manuals. And these are mandatory starters right here. These are primers. Number one is James Rawls' book, Patriots, a novel of the coming collapse. And these links are going to be on our website for you under this posting for today's show. You'll be able to just click on those and check those out. Probably codename Polly01 is getting those all worked up together right now and posted. Patriots by James Rawls is the first one. And the second book you need to read is 1 Second After by William Forshen.
Love that book.
Both of these are great. Now, why I recommend these two is because the first one covers the economic collapse from the perspective of a group who saw this coming and they spent years in advance preparing. So it's a great how-to manual. The second book,
the 1 second after follows a group of people in a small town in North Carolina who were largely unprepared. And the ways that they had to adapt and they had to meet the challenges, and it really is a great way to start the discussion. Man, what would I do in that situation? This is a great idea, or this is horrible. And what it does, it really paints the picture of how bad things could be for those who are not ready to take care of themselves. That's about all I'm going to say on that. Now, a lot of that deals with mental and physical issues of preparedness. But the mental is so powerful, it can't be understated. I read a book a couple of years ago. Actually, it was an audio book. It was called Deep Survival. I got to pull that up. And Deep Survival. It's a story of folks who survived disaster situations or did not survive, and it really analyzes why. The story of those who survived, those who do not, and why. It's called Deep Survival. It really goes into the psychological aspects. So let's talk about meat and potato stuff. How you can get prepared. First of all, there's probably one of my favorite sites is survivalblog.com, because they have so many stories there that really go into real world situations. I was in Venezuela. I was in Nicaragua. I was in Bosnia. And this is my story. There's so much to be gleaned from those personal accounts. And there's a ton of other resources as well. Prepper Recon, Mark Goodwin. He's written a couple books too. And both of these, I'm in the middle of The Days of Noah right now. And that's talking about the collapse in America. I think they're very realistic scenarios. His writing is improving all the time. He's a great writer. I really enjoy writing. He's a mature writer.
Great sponsor of Iron Economy.
He is. He is a sponsor of Radio Free Readout. So that was not meant to be a shameless plug there. He really is on the ball. And he also has Prepper Recon podcast to talk about a lot of preparedness type issues as well. And then, of course, Glenn Tate with this 299 Days book series follows a guy who was basically unaware, became aware of how bad things are, what's coming, and his journey to preparedness. And then, of course, that's pre-event. That's a real-world story there. That's really the author's life. And then it goes into the fictional, what it could look like in the future.
Yeah, the post collapse.
Yeah,
I would say, you know, Glenn and Mark really do have their pulse on it.
Yeah,
Dave's Noah, absolutely phenomenal. Not just saying that to push Mark, but the realistic scenario of a collapse, pushed by a false flag event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see those things unfolding all over America. We know that we have domestic terrorists that are actually housed here on our country. I mean, I think Mark really has hit it. And I think, too, that Glenn has a really good viewpoint on that. But it's the journey of where you start in becoming a prepper and understanding what that looks like and becoming self-reliant. And I think that, you know, one of my team members, Whiskey62, I think he once asked me, are there any dumb questions about prepping? And it's like, no. Ask whatever comes to your mind. Find somebody who can mentor you.
There's one. Do you really think all this is necessary?
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about what's some of the things that people can do. A, read Patriots, the novel of the coming collapse. Next, read 1 Second After. Those are the two at the top of the list. There's tons of others. We could put a recommended book reading.
Oh, absolutely.
That might be something we'll have to work on. Okay, but let me go down a list here for you. Now, this one was picked up from the Economic Collapse blog. 25 things you should do to get prepared for the coming economic collapse. And this is one of the best, probably boiled down list of items that I've seen. We're going to repost this at RadioFreeReadout.com. For today's show. Number one, develop an emergency fund. Super, super important. We're going to go back through these. Number two, don't put all of your money or your eggs in one basket. Diversify that. Number three, keep some cash at home. Multiple examples around the world where folks had $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 in the bank. They go up to the ATM machine. The banks close. The ATM machines don't work, or
they get wiped out, you know, within minutes. And then there you are with no way to get what's still available at the store. So have cash on hand. Get out of debt. That is a huge one, and it's probably one of the most challenging one for Americans. Gold and silver, number five. We'll talk about why. Reduce your expenses. If you don't need cable TV, you don't need cable TV. Get rid of it. All right, start getting rid of frills and things in your life so you can re-divert some of your assets toward preparing. Start a side business. And this is another thing that really came through with all these stories that I've read. Real world accounts. Make yourself useful. You're the guy that can fix a small engine. You're the guy with the solar panel that can recharge people's batteries. You're the guy that can offer something that no one else can. Become that guy.
Absolutely. A skill set is crucially important.
Yeah.
If you don't have something, get something. Go to your local schools today. Find anybody. Find an old guy who can teach you how to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, we on the Fox compound, we've decided that, you know, we're going to be, you know, agriculture is going to be our thing.
Yep.
Being able to trade supplies, soap making, that's another thing too.
Yeah.
Having those skills is extremely important. Like you said, solar panels, electricity, those are the kind of things that when the infrastructure goes down and the people walk away from their jobs at the local PUD or Vista or wherever you are located within the readout, the power will go down. It can only run for so long by itself before that infrastructure breaks down. It has to have somebody turning a wrench or pushing a button on a
computer. Become the neighborhood medic. Become the neighborhood ham radio operator with the link to the outside world. Whatever it is, but make yourself useful. That's something no one else has. Make yourself valuable. Number nine, store food. This is a whole another topic in and of itself. And there's we could discuss this at length with, you know, several guest speakers, but store food. Start off with at least a week's worth, very minimum, to get through just an immediate, we're talking hurricane, earthquake, but really, as soon as you hit that 10-day mark, you need to expand that to 30 days, then 60 days, then 90 days, and then 6 months, and then a year. That should be your goal. And it's doable. Mm-hmm. It is very doable. Several authors have written about it. We've talked about it. There's a lot of resources out there that give you some great ideas for being able to do that. Learn how to grow your own food. Storing food is only there until you can begin producing it yourself. That should not be. You shouldn't have a 7-year food supply for, you know, two people. You should have at least a year to 2 years worth of food supply if you're able to, and then you should have the means of producing your own food.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing better than biting into an apple that you grew.
Water. Number 11 is water. Have a way of procuring or purifying, capturing, processing water. Number 12, we're going to have this list up there for you. Have a plan for when the grid goes down. Having backup power for things that are critical for power, radios and things like that. Blankets and warm clothing on hand. Number 14, store personal hygiene supplies. Something that really is easy to overlook, especially for women, feminine hygiene items.
Yeah, you tough prepper men out there who think you're all bad, wait till your women start their monthly cycle and you've got nothing to help them with.
That's right.
It's going to be brutal.
Not good.
Not good at all.
And, you know, when we come back from the break, I want to ask the listeners, what's on their list? What are you lacking? What do you think, after analyzing your preparedness, where are you falling short?
No, it's a great idea.
What was their journey of waking up? What are they preparing for? Which is a whole nother discussion. Why are we preparing? Are we preparing for an earthquake? Are we preparing for... It depends on what you're preparing for, right?
Yeah, there's all sorts of different options.
There is all kinds of things that you could be trying to prepare for, and you can actually go insane trying to figure out all the things that you could prepare for. If there's going to be a 9.6 earthquake, I want to be in an airplane.
I don't want to be underground.
If there's going to be a nuclear blast, I don't want to be in an airplane. I want to be underground. But I don't want to be underground if there's going to be a 9.6 earthquake. So,
what about a hot air balloon, like kind of hovering just 4 or 5 feet off the ground?
Yeah. So, anyway, what you have to do is just identify the most likely scenario. Well, you prepare for as much as you can, broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. This is what I call broad spectrum. It doesn't matter. You still have to eat. You still have to have water. You still have to be self-reliant, because the medical facilities in every one of these disasters are non-existent, or they get stripped by looters, or they're overwhelmed, and you're worse off going to the hospital, but that's where the doctors are because there's a shortage of doctors. So could you work to become self-reliant for your own medical needs? We'll talk about that and more, and we'll open up the phone lines right when we come back. This is John Jacob Schmidt.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist, simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture, or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
In the days of Noah, Book 2, persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, a globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
The studio phone lines are now open. 1-877-999-7684.
The phone lines are open. Thank you, Codename Anya, for that. 1-877-999-7684. And we are talking about preparedness and self-reliance. I'm going down a list to start to jog your thoughts about how far along are you? How are you lacking in these areas? And we want to hear from your experiences as well. Fox 519er and myself are going to continue the discussion. If you guys just want to sit back and listen, well, that's okay.
But we'd love to have you call in too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way. It's up to you. Today is up to you day. There's no no tyranny going on here.
No, this is a tyranny-free zone, man.
Now, here's a couple other things too. Special needs of your babies and pets. And I don't mean like eating your dog if you have to.
Dog kebabs, not good.
Another really good one that they put in here is entertainment. We're talking your basic disaster preparedness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't go in. You can prepare. You can buy beans, bolts, Band-Aids, whatever you want to put in there. But there's nothing to entertain. Then you're just going to go insane. I mean, there's going to be a fair amount of work. But I know with my foxes, I've got little ones, and I want something to keep them entertained. I mean,
absolutely.
I was just talking with Gray Fox the other night about, you know, making sure that we have things to do and why we need to keep our board games all complete and out of the hands of Baby
Fox.
And
you know what? Something else that I thought was brilliant was Polly01. She went to the thrift stores and secondhand stores and picked up a curriculum, homeschooling curriculum, for the years that her children are in and beyond. So she's got like 5 years down the road worth of homeschooling curriculum. So it's not just about entertainment, having, you know, cards and games and puzzles. You've got to have that, but something that's productive. And one of the things about you know, a disaster or collapse situation that we've read about, so that so many other countries have gone through, one of the ways of coping with that is giving people something to do. not having something to do will, you know, make you lose your mind almost. So that's really important. Here's a big one. Self-defense. This is a huge one. And this is a common theme that we see running through every single, almost every single major disaster or and every single collapse situation that we've seen in other countries. They stress, and they will tell you, I cannot place enough emphasis on the need for you to be able to provide for defense, because 911 isn't there. There is no help. You are it. And there's some really, really bad, evil people in this world. And most of them are opportunists. And like our government, they also adopt the philosophy of not letting a good disaster go to waste.
They'll never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly. So they're going to exploit that at your expense. And, you know, there's no worse feeling than feeling a sense of danger and there is no one to come to your aid.
Yeah, you've heard about my 2 weeks back in July of this past year when the storms hit up here and how we were pretty much on our own.
Absolutely. And you had some undesirables probing the countryside looking for, you know, and I've been in situations like that before. And there is such a peace of mind. You know, Mrs. Schmidt has been in several situations where she says, you know what? I cannot tell you what a great feeling it was to be armed.
Mrs. Fox 519 said the same thing about that same period. Yeah. She's like, it was really comforting to know that we've got a way to protect us.
Right.
In that situation.
Yeah, all the fuzzy, feel-good, philosophical, you know, I'm not going to resort to violence and all that kind of stuff. that's somebody who's very naive and has never had to been. They've never been confronted with evil, the type of evil that's out there.
I would not want to tangle with Mrs. Fox 519 when somebody messes with the kids.
I almost think that we should have a hardcore expose on evil. Because I'll tell you what, nothing will convince me ever to not have the ability to defend my family, because I've seen the evil. I mean, the worst kind of things that you can't even speak of off the radio, and that's out there, and I know that. And so I really don't care if somebody thinks we shouldn't resort to violence. Oh, I'm not going to shoot somebody because they want a can of food. They're coming to take my can of food. That's not why you don't shoot somebody over your can of food.
When I was in law enforcement, there were times when we would look into the eyes of somebody and you knew that dude is evil.
Yeah.
You lock that guy away somewhere and you never let him out again, because there is a hollowness there that you know that they will fill with just about anything as scary as you can think of.
The other thing that you need to consider, item number 22, is having a place to go. Prepare a place to go in advance. Now, in the American Reef Doubt, we've got a lot of folks that are saying, well, I want to get there. We're going to relocate because it's free America. But if something happens before we get a chance to do that, well, we're headed there. And something came to light to me in the last year after hearing this so many times. We're going to have a Patriot refugee problem on our hands.
We could, yeah.
Now, that's not fair to the Patriots that are already here, right? I didn't move. I didn't prepare. I don't have anything but the shirt off my back, on my back. But we're like-minded, so feed us. You know, I mean, try to develop relationships. There's a lot of folks that have friends and family that have already relocated to the American Redoubt. Start working with them. Pre-position. If you live in the country, provide a place for people to come to. There are some folks that just out of benevolence, they have the means and they're preparing for some families that don't even know about it. But don't count on somebody else providing for you, and start developing a place to go. Multiple times in all of these scenarios, real world situations that I've studied, that you have studied, they had to leave their home. And they were forced to. They did not have a choice.
Yeah, if you look at like Selco of Survival School, that guy's he's got the book called One Year in Hell. And you look about what they had to do to survive during that time, everything from eating shoe leather to, I mean, some of the things about where he slept and what he had to eat. Yeah, absolutely. Don't become a burden to anybody. That's just not cool. I mean, we want you to come to the American Readout. We want you to be here with us to stand for Americanism and everything that God wants of us. but don't come here with a plan to just eat through stores, because if you come knocking on my gate, I'll give you a bag of rice, but I'm going to make you do a day's work to get it.
Yeah.
You know? You're going to be picking rocks out of my field.
It won't be fun. And that's biblical.
Absolutely. If a man won't work, a man won't eat.
Yeah. And there's also a difference between those who can't provide for themselves and those who won't.
Yeah.
You know, if you made it out of the Seattle area with your life and some evil horde, you know, the proverbial evil horde, they got your
with
truck.
With their tight pants and their little, like, mustaches.
Mad Max vehicles.
I was thinking more hipsters, but that's
me. Okay, so let's say you had to leave everything behind. You escaped with your life. That's a whole different story than somebody who has no plans. How many folks have you heard? I know Joe, he's down the street. I'll just go to his place. How many people have told you, I'm just coming to your place?
We've had a fair amount. We actually had members of our team that we had to kick out because they weren't participating. So they said, oh, let's come to your place. It's like, yeah, you can come, but those are windage markers on the driveway as you walk up. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's just
it's not cool. I mean,
it's a selfish.
It is. It's very
mentality.
Selfish. Why as a leader in your home would you not take the time to make sure that your kids are fed? I mean, I've talked about that before in extended segments on Radio Free Readout. So it's not. It's totally biblical. God is telling us all the way through the Bible as leaders in our home. You need to make sure that your household is looked after as I've looked after you.
And also, we should be striving to be in a position that we can help others, not that we need to be helped. But we should also be willing to help those who truly need it.
Agreed.
And tell you what, the more of us that do that makes it, it makes it possible. It makes it so much easier when you've got a wide body of people all preparing, not just for themselves, but maybe for themselves and one other family, even if you don't have a family in mind. And then if that other family never comes along, well, you just doubled your own family's, you know, preparedness from 1 year to 2 years. But if everyone did that, if we could keep as many patriots out of FEMA camps as possible, then they could be part of the rebuilding.
Can you imagine that? That would just be awesome.
Yeah, I want to challenge everyone to not only prepare for yourself, first prepare for yourself, so that you're not a burden to someone else. And then once you achieve that, then strive toward being able to sponsor, to be able to provide for someone else. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
Just because then they're going to count on it.
Yeah.
Right? And you want to encourage them. You want to encourage them to become self-reliant. And then that's one less family that you, then you can help someone else.
Yeah. I mean, that's also biblical as well, as we want to make sure that we, you know, where we don't do that in America right now in our churches, we rely on the government to do that.
Yeah.
It's our churches and our communities and our patriots who need to step it up, saying, you know what, we'll help those people get up and off their feet to find jobs, to be able to go in a direction that'll be beneficial to society.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're just not doing that.
Having a place to go and being prepared and even practicing going to grandma's house, to Uncle Joe's cabin somewhere, has been a necessity for many people that are escaping an invading military force or a natural disaster, many different things. That's called bugging out. You want to have a bug out plan. Do we have examples in the Bible of people bugging out?
But
Mary and Joseph.
Or
you need to get out now. Danger is coming. Grab everything and go.
I would even say, look at Moses. Look at Exodus.
Absolutely.
The entire book dedicated to a bug out.
And they were ordered to grab everything that they had,
mm-hmm.
how to stow it, what to bring,
mm-hmm.
and enough to feed everybody.
Yep.
And their animals.
Yep.
And head into the wilderness.
They had everything minus Charlton Heston.
There you go. So be prepared to bug out if you have to. Now, each one of these we could do a two-hour show on each one of these topics. Just giving you guys some things to think about. And also the resources so you can learn a little bit more about yourself. Community is such a huge thing that you have to build. Even if you start off with just building a neighborhood watch type of a program. Start discussing things with your neighbors. And I've been talking to several patriots who are actually in the process of building community in their communities right now. And there's a lot of folks that are discussing this with their Bible study or their church groups. And I think that's a great thing. I really think it's the church people should be turning to instead of the government.
Agreed.
For help.
100% agree.
So we need to empower the churches to be able to help. And that's a hard thing to overcome because the pastors have no interest whatsoever, by and large. And there are some exceptions. That's not their thing. They don't want to become self-reliant. But they'll talk about how bad things are getting and how bad things are going to get. And we need to be thinking about that. But when you bring up the church's role in helping their churches, they don't want to have that discussion.
No, because we're bogged down with this Western ideal of what church is. It's you get up on Sunday morning, you go to the big mega church, you sing the Hillsong songs.
Go through the program.
You go through the program, and it's a production. The pastor gets up. He says his piece. He talks about absolutely nothing that is pertinent to American society today or challenges and issues. Doesn't stretch us. And then we all go home, and we either get out our boat and we go play, or we do whatever we do in the afternoon. The idea of saying of us going to church and the pastor sitting down going, yeah, we got a real problem here. I was just listening to one of Phil Harris's. I love listening to the Duck Dynasty guys.
Oh yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I listened to his speech at CPAC, and I was just sitting at home, and I just wanted to stand up and jump up and down and cheer because it's like. And then I went and listened to their church, and those are examples of churches that are really challenging people
yeah.
and saying it's not about them; it's about us.
Right.
And we need to be changing things, and we need to take possession of the future, and we need to be as patriots. It's amazing to see the engagement in groups like that, where I would say, you know, up here in the Redoubt, we've got some churches that have some real issues. Mm-hmm. Real issues. I mean, we're talking like emergent church style, Rob Bell, Love Everybody.
That's nationwide.
Yeah, it's a real problem. And if we as people don't stand up in our churches and say, whoa, wait a minute, that's problematic.
There's something else we're going to be talking about, too, in the future, and that is the need for the underground church.
Mm.
A lot of these churches, emergent churches, are emerging because this is what the world wants to hear, and it's what they're allowed to say. There's churches that are foregoing the 501c3
yep.
tax write-off so they can speak truth about the issues that Christians are faced with today. And one day, I predict, I'm not prophesying here, I can see at some point in the future, these churches are going to be forced to go underground. And there's a lot of underground things we'll be talking about. But the churches are something that's a very real possibility, as many Christians are faced with today. And that self-reliance, being able to look out for each other, that prepping is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's not just, well, because my family will eat. This is all about me and my family. This is about something bigger than that. This is about ministering to the church.
I think right now that God is speaking to those people's hearts. I have a friend who contacted me a couple of years back saying that she had a dream that there was a warehouse somewhere where people were coming into as an underground barter system. Sounds like we're wrapping up here. So
those are real things that people are faced with
Absolutely.
All across the country.
Absolutely.
So anyway, guys, this was a good discussion, and thanks for being with us.
Always glad to.
Yeah, man, it was really good to see you. All right, guys, God bless. You have a great rest of the weekend. Join us tomorrow night at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for our weekly podcast. God bless.